relevant, Jeremiah 33, verse 14 to 16. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord our righteous Savior. And from Luke chapter 21, verse 25 to 36, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man.
I have been longing for this day. The first day, the first Sunday in Advent. It is the first day of the Christian year. And it is in the first year of what I envision to be my 43-year-long ministry at Centered Congregational Church. That means that I will retire just shy of my 90th birthday here at this church. So I've been waiting for this day because I know how during Advent and during the Christmas season, this church in particular becomes more iconic, I think, than at any other time. All decked out in its greenery and in its decorations. I know the melodious sounds of the Messiah concert, the hustle and bustle of the Christmas fair and the bazaar, and the smell of food and pine that give the church an air of nostalgia and cheer. Last week, during the council meeting, after sort of expressing my sense of anxiety and feelings of being overwhelmed with all of the activities of this church, many of you sympathetically shared with me that other ministers in years past have also felt the same during this time of year. Although Anne did say maybe it was a little bit later. I'm feeling it a little bit early. But anyway, I was reassured that my sense of busy apprehension and subsequent exhaustion is quite normal for ministers here. The time of Christmas and Advent is, at Center Congregational Church, is active as it celebrates the coming of the Christ child. And we are, I think, as we should be, busily weighty. We are now in what I refer to as the ecclesiastic waiting room, as it were. Yet I think it's important to point out that this waiting room, in it, we are not just sitting quiet, twiddling our thumbs, silently drinking our coffee or tea, watching the clock, pacing uselessly up and down the floor. We are active. I remember the months, the days, and the hours before my son Micah was born, and we were all filled with active anticipation. A crib had to be purchased, bottles ready, the home prepared, clothes folded up at the ready, car seat installed, and even the college fund, now coming in very handy, was already prepared before we heard the first cry. I was an active participant with my wife, preparing our bodies, although me only in solidarity, I admit. With her, I began to eat extra healthy. I abstained from alcohol. I stopped smoking cannabis completely. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I never smoked cannabis. I exercised regularly. My gosh, I even recall purchasing meditative Mozart music for the womb. Not mine. Micah had soft, soothing classical music via earphone in utero. What I'm trying to say is that waiting is active. It's about being engaged. It's about being positive. It's about being in solidarity with one another. It's about sharing the joys, sharing the anxieties and the responsibilities of anticipating together. Our waiting room is not passive. It is not full of dread. It is not helpless, agonizing fear of the unknown. So, here we all sit in the waiting room of Center Congregational Church, together, in partnership, excited, busy, hopeful, eager, yes, and a bit tired. As we prepare in the waiting room, that is even this sanctuary, that is the ministries of this beautiful church, I want to ask us this morning, for what are we waiting in the waiting room? The answer from our scriptures is actually quite clear. We are waiting for the kingdom of God. It is the kingdom of God that is coming. We are waiting for an age, a realm, and existence where God will restore the earth. God will bring people together. God will establish justice. God will reconcile humans to God and with one another. God will turn selfishness into selflessness. God will turn insults into affirmation. God will heal wounds. God will establish peace and goodwill. God will establish God's will on earth just as it is in heaven. That is what we are waiting for. Friends, our scripture readings this morning may seem perplexing. In fact, if you were listening, you really should have been scratching your head. What's this about the coming of the kingdom of God from a branch? Our scripture reading from the prophet Jeremiah speaks of a coming Messiah, a king who is actually a political theocratic monarch. This king will be so in tune with God that God will rule the earth through him. This Messiah, this chosen one of God, will establish justice, and his being in tune with God will enable the inhabitants of the earth to also be in tune with God. Now, as people who live in the year 2018, we must not be perplexed with a literal interpretation of how people of faith envisioned that which they anticipated 2,600 years ago, during the prophet Jeremiah's age. Nor must we be upset or perplexed about how people of faith 1,900 years ago, during the time when the evangelist Luke wrote our gospel reading this morning. Don't be worried about how the author of Luke envisioned how the kingdom of God will be inaugurated through what is commonly referred to as the second coming, which of course follows the first coming of a Messiah. Don't be concerned that the second coming is described actually much differently than the first coming. And don't be concerned that we at Center Congregational Church envision the kingdom of God in a very different way than Jeremiah and the author of Luke did. The differences in these envisionings reflect different times and different places, different fears, and different hopes and different dreams. So how do we envision the kingdom of God coming this morning in 2018? Well, just have a meal at Loaves and Fishes on Tuesdays and Fridays. How do we envision the kingdom of God coming? Well, just watch the fathers and the mothers who trust their children's lives to the Brattleboro Center for Children as they deliver them to this church. Greet those who come into an AA meeting, who gather here in this place for solidarity and support. Sit in a council meeting as dozens of leaders, or at least a dozen leaders, gather and discuss enthusiastically, despite being weary and worn. We need only see the inauguration of the kingdom of God here at Center Congregational Church as we speak prophetically with members of our community, as we welcome those who are perhaps excluded from other churches because of who they are, and as we love and as we care for one another in homes and hospitals. This is our waiting room in this sanctuary. This is our waiting room. So, for what are we waiting? Well, we are waiting for the first coming of the Messiah, as spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. The Christ child, Jesus. Jesus is the one we understand to be most in tune with the Word of God and with the will of God. Through Jesus, we hear, we see, we feel, and we understand the words, the face, the love, and the wisdom of God. like we never have before or since. His ministry inaugurated the kingdom of God on earth then and there 2,000 years ago in Palestine. So with Jesus, we await the beginning of the establishment of the kingdom of God. But our scripture reading from Luke tells us we are also waiting for something else. Not just the beginning, but we are also waiting for the end. We are waiting for what is referred to as the second coming. And the second coming is when the Messiah shall come again, and that which began 2,000 years ago will be fulfilled and completed. No one knows how or why or when this will occur. Hence, there are so many different envisionings of how and when the second coming will burst upon our scene, not only in the Bible, but also throughout history. But we need not concern ourselves so much about how others have envisioned the second coming, the establishment of the kingdom of God. I say this because they all have this in common. The establishment of the kingdom of God is a presence of God. The world is not right, and this we know. It's God's presence that seeks to make it right. The Messiah came to show us the way. The Messiah will partner with us to continue and to complete that which was begun. So friends in Christ, we are waiting for the beginning and we are waiting for the end. But dare I repeat the sentiments of Father Richard Rohr. He says, and I say, that you and I are the second coming of Christ. You and I are the hands, the feet, the mouth, the heart, the love, the peace, the joy of the Father and the Son here and now in this waiting room. Christ has come. Christ is here, and Christ will come again. And I see evidence of Jesus' ministry 2,000 years ago in all of you. I see Christ is alive and active through the church and through the ministries it touches around the world. I anticipate great and wonderful things from this place in the future. We, the followers of God, envision the same reality that Jeremiah and Luke did. But yes, we do so differently. Jeremiah saw the first coming of a king. Luke saw a second coming in a cosmic restorer. Well, perhaps we don't see the same things, but we do see the second coming in one another. I see Christ when I see and touch and hear and love each of you. You are the second coming of Christ. So this Advent, as we await the past birth of Jesus, we also await the second coming that is already here in each one of you, in each one of you, and in your lives. And we await the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in the future. We await both the beginning and the end. We await the Alpha and the Omega. May we busily anticipate, prepare for, and foster that which we enjoyed, experience, and await. Friends in Christ, this is the word of God, and it was preached to the people of God. And the people of God responded.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.